Welcome to the Edgar Allan Poe podcast with your co-hosts, Vicky Ray, Nez, and Keith Chowgo. Exploring book to screen and everything in between, delving into the dark despair and the sinister world of Edgar Allan Poe.
Hello, welcome to the Literary License Podcast, and today we have McLean Lindquiston, who is head of Brass Introductions, and he'll be talking to us today about his film, which is called Edgar Allan Poe's Telltale Heart. So, welcome to the Literary License Podcast, McLean. How are you?
Good. I'm great. Thank you. Thanks for having me, Keith.
No problem. And you're based outside of Utah. How? What was it like putting a film production together in Utah for your short film?
Very easy. Utah's got a really incredible film community. I got hooked up with Redmond Studios, Movies and Stories. And from there, met my DP, who's the manager there, Joe Levis. And the rest, everyone else fell right in that was through Redmond. A lot of people come and film in Utah because there's really talented gaffers and special effects and grips and DPs. So they come in at pretty low rates and get really incredible talent. So what I did was just tap into a big pool of really talented filmmakers. So it was very easy to make a movie in Utah.
So how long has Bass Bint Productions been in
Basement.
Oh, basement. Basement.
Everybody warned me about spelling it wrong, you know, so that's what I get.
No, that's fine. We'll just spell that as one word.
I think it's, 11 years now. I'm also a musician. There's a band, the Basement Pros, within the production company. We've done all kinds of things. Videos and put on different comedy shows and MMA fights and different things, but kind of landed in film because of the music videos for the band, and I just really took off from there. So yeah.
And so this is your first foray into films. What made you choose Edgar Allan Poe's Telltale Heart as your first film?
Well, it was the first short story that I heard on Halloween that my librarian read to us, I believe, in the third grade. And I was just blown away. I think it was, you know, the first metaphor and, you know, that psychological element. And so I went home to my brother's library and found a collection of Poe stories and started reading those and absolutely loved those as well. And so I figured, well, I'll look into some movies, you know, the Roger Corman stuff, and they were all incredible. The Raven, The Tomb, Black Cat, you know, The Mask, it just on and on, Tales of Terror, all were incredible movies, in my opinion. And so I figured, well, the best story that Edgar's ever written, in my opinion, is The Telltale Heart. So that's going to be the best movie that exists out there. And unfortunately, it's not. It's really hard to make a movie about The Telltale Heart or adapting it because at the beginning of the story, he reveals, you know, what happens. So movies don't work that way unless it's like a Memento, Christopher Nolan. But I just at a real young age thought someone needs to do just a really intense, scary, psychological movie, short, like the story, that has a focus on not just the madness, but the audible aspects, and have it be, you know, a little gory, which the tell is, the story is. So we just tried to make that modern, you know, adaptation palpable to an audience that is going to want to be scared. And that was just kind of, you know, my impetus was I wanted to make a really scary movie. And then it was just the two were like, I've always wanted to do the Telltale Heart. I could do a scary version of that. And here we are. It was not planned, you know, and everybody that I told, hey, I'm going to do the Telltale Heart. Everyone was like, no, it's been done 1,000 times. It's like, yep. But we were really trying to do the definitive version, and I'll let the movie speak for itself. But when you see it, you can tell me if you think someone's made a better one.
Well, last season, as our listeners know, we were doing our book to screen was the Edgar Allan Poe. So we did a whole year of Edgar Allan Poe. And we did see a couple versions of Telltale Heart, whether it was found buried within a Roger Corman anthology film.
And
then, of course, there's the Telltale Heart that had its own film version. And I have to sit there and say that yours actually was the closest to the text that we've seen. So
that too. We you know, it's modern, but it was difficult because we used his text. There's some added dialogue and whatnot, but we wanted to be true to Poe's words, and so it's modern, but it's the story and it's his words. That was really important to us, that we don't just rewrite this story. I tried to show Poe's story just in a nonlinear way, thinking of always would he appreciate this. That was really important to me. And I think that stems from the literary aspect of that story meaning so much to me personally. So
now, I also noticed while watching the film is that you tend to stick to a Victorian way of telling your story, but at the same time, your characters are dressed either in Victorian or 1930s gumshoe, or we have a modern day policeman. What made you think to change the styles of your characters as far as what period they're basing themselves into?
I just wanted it to be ambiguous. You know, the whole concept of our edit and the how we're showing the movie in a nonlinear aspect kind of just led to that. Don't know, really.
I think we need to give a shout out to your DP or your director of photography, because your film looks beautiful. It's beautifully shot.
Joe Oliva. So I came in to rent some equipment from him at Redmond, and I was just telling him about the story after I spoke to the owner, Brian, who sat down with me and spent 2 hours going over stuff, which was incredible. He came back, Joe, with the list of the equipment that we were going to rent. And he was like, hey, I want to throw my name in the hat for DP. And while he left to go get the list, we were talking amongst us as producers, like we should get Joe on board. So I was like, basically at that point, he was our DP. And there was a number of people who had their names in there as well. Joe is amazing. My whole crew, Mikkel Richardson, you know, pulling focus, blew me away every day on set. Jason Rogers on Gaff was amazing. Jason Fife on Grip. Chris Hansen on special effects. The list just goes on and on. And our editor, Joel Petrie and Raymond Delmar are incredible as well. And I met all those people through Joe and through Redmond. So, Joe's, I plan on having him, if he's available, and he's on board as well, being my DP for all of my future projects.
I also have to give some kudos to your makeup design. The person who did the makeup did a fantastic job as well.
Yeah, that's Chris Hansen. So he was the first person that came on board. And when he did that, it gave our movie credibility. And he introduced me to James C. Morris, who played the old man. And Chris is, as you know, he's done David Lynch movies. And I mean, the list just goes on and on. Del Toro, and he's worked on so many movies. He's a master. He blows me away. So, and everything that we did, well, 90% of what you saw was practical, and that was all Chris. There's very little digital that we did within the movie. The VFX that we did do are incredible. But yeah, Chris is a wizard. So, and I love him personally. He's a close friend. So,
I have to say this, Telltale Heart, the linchpin is the old man and the cloud, the cataract over the blue eye.
And it just has a cataract. Jeez. And, right?
But I have to sit there and say that a lot of adaptations of the Poe character tend to leave that out.
Yeah.
And I thought that it was very, very clever that you were able to keep that in, but actually show it in a very interesting way and be able to look at the man that he was more areas of gray. He wasn't evil. He thought of him as because of the ugliness of him, but he is not evil at all. And then you have the nice looking guy who basically is your antagonist of the story or telling the story. And I thought that was quite good how you were able to set that aside from each other, that basically, you know, what may look good, it might be rotten to the core inside, and what might be ugly on the outside, there might be some good in within that framework that you used.
So yeah,
very clever.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that came from Carl Jung. So I was, you know, it's this actually was the very first psychological thriller ever written, The Telltale Heart. So I wanted that to be a strong component, psychology, which fascinates me. And I went to, you know, there's Freudian elements in there for sure. But that was Carl Jung, where I wanted to show the duality of man, you know, the shades. And we lit certain scenes where the narrator was half in shadow or in full shadow, and same with the old man. But that was really just in the mind of the narrator. So that was kind of, you know, I'm glad you picked up on it, because I didn't think most people would. But yeah, we were trying to visually also convey that, the light and the dark, the shadow as well. So yeah, that's awesome.
Did you film? You're welcome. Did you film in a real house or? Because
movie magic. Nope. That's on set.
Okay.
Even people that know that home. So we did the private screening last night, and the people that run that, it's an art center, Eccles Art Center. It's a famous mansion in Ogden, Utah, and run by really cool people and whatnot. But yeah, no, it's just exteriors. And even people were like, I don't remember that hallway being in this Victorian mansion. And Victorian mansions are just room by room, you know. It's there are no long hallways. And the vast shots that we did, it just conveyed the kind of, madness. I just lifted that from Kubrick in The Shining, where the hotel itself from outside is very small. And then inside, it's this massive, sprawling place. So that's just kind of what I did. But nope, that was all on set. That was on Redmond. We built those sets. I designed them. And Lindy Bone, my set designer, put the whole kind of feel together, her and I. She's awesome as well.
So you kind of did like the George C. Scott film, The Changeling, where you just have, you know, yep, all the whole indoors.
Very yeah, clever. And that was that movie is a big influence. Maybe not so much on The Telltale Heart, but I love that movie. It's unsung. And there's also elements within that ghost story of psychology. So maybe there is a little bit of The Changeling, but yep, it's very similar to that, where that was a set that was built, that was not the home, and then the outside was a facade. But ours, that's the actual Eccles Art Center. We adjusted some things, and then had to do some slight buffering, if you will, with the VFX, just to hide a few things. But yep,
I say it's very clever. I never would have known.
Thank you. I tricked you.
You tricked me oh, big time.
And everybody else, people that have been in that, you know, I tricked them as well. So we'll keep it a secret, right? No one's going to hear this, right?
Well, you never know. You never know where we're reaching out to.
Oh, you're going to broadcast this? You're recording this?
Oh, yeah. Most of one of our biggest audience are the Philippines and Japan, so I don't know how much of this they actually understand. So
There you go.
Another thing I have to give you kudos for is your sound design. You have one of the best sound designs that I've seen in a short in a long time.
Well, thank you. I don't want to pick apart the other movies that have been done with the Telltale Heart, but for me, that was one thing that was always missing in all of them, where was the audible presentation of his madness, the beating of the heart. I mean, that's the whole story. So yeah, even within the script, I had lines that would say, music will drive this scene or sound design will drive this scene. And we would rehearse to the beat of a heartbeat. And there's a lot of that in a lot of the takes. It's still there where it literally has that, their dialogue has that heartbeat. So yeah, Jake Proctor and Joel Pack, Jake Proctor did the sound design and Joel Pack did the music. And the two of them worked, and it was symbiotic where they were playing off each other and they played to each other's strengths. And the sound design, and a lot of it is the music where it's, you wouldn't realize that it's actually the music, and vice versa, where you would think it was music, it was actually sound design, which is awesome, blurring that line. But we really went hard and spent a lot of time in post on all of the sound. That was just critical to us that we present this where no matter what you're watching it on or where you're watching it, it's going to affect you in your earbuds.
Yeah, I have to sit there and say it was, I had the surround sound on, and it was perfect. Quite amazing. Loved it a lot. So what is the future of the release of Telltale Heart? We're, I know that you got some film festivals coming up. Can you let the people know what those film festivals are so they can catch this?
Yeah, so this all, film festivals have been pushed back, obviously, with everything. Same with our comic conventions. And this private screening that we just had was supposed to be in April, but, COVID happened. So everything's basically, about 8 months off. But we are now going into the film festival, or at least they're accepting us. So we've been accepted into Film Quest and Hollywood First Time Filmmaker and Pinewood Studios in England, Liftoff, and they'll keep coming here. And we're going to participate in all of them. Some of them are still trying to figure out if it's going to be strictly digital, like Pinewood is going to be digital, or if they can figure out a safe way of having it be in person. So you can hit up, we have it on all of our social media, with the film festivals. And then also, if you want to subscribe to our website, you can put in your zip code and it will show you if there's going to be any showings in your area. But if it's digital anywhere in the world, obviously, if you want to join that film festival, you can watch it. So, to answer the question is, none of the dates are set so far. Other than Pinewood, I'm doing a Q&A roundtable on the 13th, but I don't know if that's streaming or if that's to be recorded and played back. So it's really, everything's really, foggy right now, and with not only the movie industry, but just the world, right? So it's, we're all in this. No one's having their best year. Jeff Bezos is doing pretty well, I guess, but. So hopefully that's a big part of the film festivals is being there, watching it and hearing it in a theater and then getting to meet the actors and or director. That's an important part of the film festivals. So it's tough with it just being online, but it is what it is. And you just, try to do your best, and, we'll continue to, monitor it. We have probably like 10 to 20 that are still coming in. So we could be involved in a lot, And I really enjoy the festival scene and all that. It's surprised me.
It's quite good to be able to gauge people's gut reactions as well that you can get at a festival.
Yeah, we had a drive-in performance. We were the capstone movie. And you can't, you know, you're in your car. You can't gauge what other people are experiencing, if the jumps are hitting, if the laughs are hitting, things of this nature. But at the end, everybody was laying on their horn, you know, it's like, oh, okay. So they liked it. So, but like last night, now we all worked on it, so we're a little biased, but, you could feel the scares coming. You could feel people reacting to it. You could see people reacting to it. And that was incredible to be in a theater last night. And it's massive. We were in this massive, massive theater. And we were spaced, and we all had masks, and we did it safely as much as we could, and tracing and all that. But it was just so fun to be around other people experiencing that. And people are even commenting that they could, you know, they're two rows apart or whatever and three seats apart, but they could feel people being scared in front and behind them. And then also the actors got scared, and they knew the parts were coming. They, you know, they shot it. And you know, when your own acting scares you, it's like, okay, yeah, you did a good job. So kudos.
Excellent. Now, what's the future for Bay Productions? Do you have anything else lined up for your next project?
Yeah, I mean, so we had in the works a trilogy and a couple standalone films, a found footage and a really gritty kind of noir story as well, and talked about an anthology of Poe maybe, or doing a full length of The Telltale. And we were talking with companies and distributors and even major streaming sites. I don't want to name any names, but you've heard of them. And COVID happened, so I'm still working on them, but it's like when I work on something, I become really myopic, and I want to finish it and see it through to the end. And I just don't know what to invest in as far as my time and my energy, because, I mean, I wouldn't be able to shoot anything right now on that level.
No.
And then what if I did, what do I do with it? Because I still have, you know, the Telltale where I'm just – we're in the infancy of, you know, getting out. We were supposed to be streaming on Halloween was the plan. That was best case scenario, but we would have been streaming by the end of this year. And like I said, just last night we had our private screening for the cast and crew. So we're 8 months behind, you know, thanks pandemic. But I would love to jump into other films, and I already have the crew. I would use basically the same crew that I had for The Telltale, and I would shoot at Redmond, and I would shoot all my films in Utah. But I have stories ready to go, screenplays, scripts. My brother and I write a lot of stuff, and he has books and scripts as well ready to go. But it's just like I just need to know who and where and what. So it's just baby steps trying to get back to that point of pre-coronavirus where we can have discussions with major players. And I think it's just a waiting game, really. I mean, I know our movie's good and it has legs and it's going to be good in a year. And I know a lot of people are sitting on their movies. I mean, that most people are sitting on their movies. So we shall see. But I would love to do an anthology of little shorts of Poe and do the cast, Black Cat, and whatnot. So maybe The Raven, Oval Portrait, you know, who knows?
So where would people be able to find Bassman Productions if they want to follow you and be able to jump aboard onto your newsletter?
Yeah, so if you're interested in the film, just go to, let me pull it up here, just make certain that I've got it. Telltalemovie.com. And then from the website, you can just go to the subscribe and put in your email address and your zip code at telltalemovie.com. And our Instagram link is there. our Facebook, our SoundCloud with some of the music. Let's see what else we've got. Twitter. We're on YouTube. Hit us up. And we love to meet our fans. It's really cool meeting people from around the world who appreciate Poe and who appreciate our aesthetic. And it's really neat to see what scares certain people around the world. And we'd love to scare other people all around the world. So hit us up. And as far as the Basement Pros, it's just Basement Pros, BASSMINTPROS.com. And you can find all of our websites there as well with the music. So, yeah, come say hello. We love to chat with people. And we do engage online. And shout out to City Creek Media, who does our social media. And yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
And for our listeners out there, we'll make sure that these are all in the show notes. So, you know, when you're listening to this, just scroll down and all this information will be in the show notes. And all you will need to do is click. And also people who are subscribers to our newsletter at www.llpodcast.com. All this will be in our newsletter for the next 3 months. So you have no reason not to sign up and follow and share.
So, like, share, comment.
Well, I guess it's like, share, and comment.
That's one of our songs. It's Shameless. but no, it really, it's that simple. You hit the like button. If you share it and you comment on it, that's what gets something moving. They're algorithms. And, you know, you have to play that game. And that's why we like that interaction. And then it's organic and real too, where you can establish true connections to people that you're probably never going to meet. I have met personally just people all around the world that I talk to once a week, just chatting about whatever. And it's through this movie. It's incredible. And there's hope. There's hope for humanity.
There is. Always something out there and hope for everyone.
Just not my movies, because they're terrorizing.
everyone needs a little bit of terror in their lives to make it a little bit more interesting. So what I want to say is thank you, McLean Lindquist from Basement Productions, for joining us today.
I was drinking some water. Thank you. I'm going to choke and die. This is my last interview.
And just remember to our fans out there, our next episode is Bewitched Season 1, episodes 4 through 8. And then next month we'll be doing The Children from 1980 and The Children from 2008. So this is good night for myself, and we'll see you next week on the Literary Life Podcast.
This has been a Literary License Podcast production. Good night.